You're listening to OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
IPMNation.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's Matt Connerton Unleashed, the radio edition for June 21st, 2016. A little after 11 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. And we're live. Of course, you can hear us five nights a week on IPM Nation 2. And Tuesday and Thursday nights, we're also on OTR FM. And now Tuesday nights as well is the television edition of Unleashed, which you can see Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on IPM Nation. So we did that earlier. If you missed it, that will be up on YouTube sometime tomorrow, and we'll share that out online as soon as it's available. Of course, we are broadcasting from the Uptown Auto Repair Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire, and powered by Ambit Energy. If you want to learn to save on your energy bills, go to ipmnation.ambitrabbit.com. You could be on your way to free energy. And we're sponsored by the Mortgage Specialists. If you're in the market for a home, go to themortgagespecialists.com. And you can sign up for a free consultation there with those good people so they can help you with that. And let's see, a pretty interesting show earlier with the TV edition. There's been further evidence, as I talked about a little bit last night on the radio edition, that further evidence that Trump is, you know what it is, really, a thought I had earlier. It's like he's not running for president. He's just going around flying all over the country to these big rallies where he gives speeches about running for president, but he's not actually running for president at this point. The biggest clues now, if you heard the news break right before we went on, now they're saying Hillary has raised money. 40-1 is the ratio of what Hillary Clinton has raised versus what Donald Trump has raised. And of course, remember, part of Trump's appeal for some people as well, Trump is self-funded, which means he's not going to owe anybody anything. He's not going to, you know, because our politicians are bought and paid for. And oh, but Trump talks about being self-funded. And of course, it's BS. He can't afford to self-fund an entire presidential campaign. That's an incredible amount of money. Plus, everyone knows he doesn't have, I mean, obviously he's filthy rich, but he doesn't have as much money as he claims he does. And now it's turning out that he hasn't raised any money. She's already spending millions and millions of dollars on advertising in swing states, battleground states, which is where electorally the presidential election will be won or lost. You know, blue states are going to vote for Hillary. Red states are going to vote for Trump. So it really comes down to those swing states that can go either way, like Ohio, for example. You know, they say you can't win the presidency without carrying Ohio. If you remember in 2004, when it was Bush versus George W. Bush versus John Kerry, it came down to Cuyahoga County in Ohio in the end. And of course, in 2000. It was Florida with that whole debacle with the hanging chads and everything. So Ohio and Florida are both critical to whoever wins. And, you know, you can't win the presidency without Florida. And Florida has a very large Hispanic population. And, you know, obviously Hispanics aren't really feeling Trump. You know, he's been pretty hostile to Hispanics, especially with, you know, his comments about undocumented immigrants and, you know, Mexicans, you know, calling them rapists and whatnot. Yeah, they don't really like that. And of course, he's fallen right into the trap with that. You know, after 2012, everybody was saying, well, the Republican Party has to figure out a way to reach out to Hispanics instead of continuing to alienate them. And they really stuck to that, actually, for maybe 2 weeks after the 2012 election. And then it was right back to, oh, we need to build walls and deport everybody. And of course, Trump is just kind of you know, really, well, to say he's doubled down on that would be an understatement. But so, you know, there's been all kinds of clues. If you're a regular listener of the show, you know my theory that Trump is intentionally trying to tank the election because he never thought he'd get this far. And now he's at risk of actually becoming president, and I don't think he wants to be president. But the latest clues being, of course, he hasn't raised any money. His campaign is, for all intents and purposes, almost broke. And he's not campaigning in swing states at all. You know, he's campaigning in states that are a foregone conclusion as far as who they're going to go for. Now, on the television show tonight, earlier, John Hopwood called in at the end and was talking about this article in The Atlantic, which I think I had seen, which talks about Trump having, you know, people speculate that he has a narcissistic personality disorder, which I absolutely believe that he does. But part of that is, you know, he has to be, you know, he's an extreme extrovert. So he has to be interacting with people. He has to be where the action is, as John Hopp would put it. And that might explain his lack of interest in campaigning in swing states, because that's not where he's drawing the really big crowds. He can go to a state like Texas or a state like New York, where, sure, the winner is the, you know, is a foregone conclusion, but those are where the biggest crowds are. So that's where he's going to go, you know, because he obviously, you know, his ego and whatnot, he gets off on speaking in front of these enormous crowds. So something we didn't get to earlier that I said, you know, I'd hold over for tonight is his comments about Hillary Clinton and her faith. You know, Trump doesn't believe that she's a real Christian. of course, you have all these evangelical Christians who, despite evidence to the contrary, have somehow managed to convince themselves that Trump is this great Christian who will, you know, be a great conservative, social conservative Republican president. I mean, none of it matters. He's not going to be president anyway, but his comments about Hillary were pretty interesting. But what's even more interesting was something he said recently, that part of his strategy when he debates Hillary is he's going to throw Bill Clinton's infidelities in her face and bring that up on stage. And of course, that's a politically suicidal thing to do. You do something like that, you're going to have Republican women voting for Hillary just to vote against Trump. And like I always, and you know, if you can pull that off, that's pretty amazing. There have been some high profile Republicans who have said they're going to, as much as they don't like her, they're going to vote for Hillary. You know, these people who are part of the Never Trump movement, just because they think that she might be a better alternative than Trump. Even one of the Koch brothers, either David or Charles, I forget which is which, but actually said that he thinks Hillary would probably be a better choice than Donald Trump. So this whole thing for the Republicans isn't going to get any better, and the convention's going to be a disaster, and I can't wait. It's going to be very, very entertaining. But something that I did not see today, as I looked at some of the political websites that I like to look at, is I didn't see anybody on the Republican side really coming out and saying, no, don't worry about the fundraising situation. It's all going to be fine. You know, sometimes when Trump says something incendiary, you know, you'll see a few Republicans kind of condemn him and a few other Republicans kind of say, well, I wish he didn't say that, but Trump is Trump. What are you going to do? And a few Republicans will agree with him and so forth. I'm talking about, you know, high-ranking Republicans like in Congress and whatnot. I haven't seen any Republicans really saying, oh, don't worry that Hillary has raised more money than Trump by a 40-to-1 margin. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. Because it's not going to be fine. I can't believe I'm saying this. It you know, in June, but my God, when you add it all up, his lack of interest in campaigning in swing states, which is absolutely necessary to win the presidency, his campaign is nearly broke. He continues to be crazy. when you just add all of it up, this election is essentially already over. I just don't see any path to victory for this guy. I mean, my God, this is that he's just single-handedly just and again, this is why I still am open to the idea. I know it sounds preposterous. Well, I'm convinced he wants to lose, but I'm still open to the idea that, you know, he may have even made a secret deal with the Clintons, because this guy at this point, it's very much an understatement to say he's causing divisions with the Republicans or he's damaging the Republican Party or whatnot. I mean, at this point, he's just picked up a hatchet and just killed the party. This, I don't see how this could get much worse. And the only way it could get much better would be if the exact same thing were happening on the Democratic side, because I hate the two-party system and I want to burn the whole thing down and elect more independents who aren't beholden to anybody and who don't participate in what I call PIG, which is, you know, partisan ideological groupthink, that has a stranglehold on our country. But unfortunately, the Democratic Party looks like it will survive. It's surviving Bernie Sanders pretty well. And you know he's just going to fall in line behind Hillary eventually. But the Republican Party is just, this is incredible. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live. You can hear us five nights a week on IPM Nation 2. And, of course, Tuesday and Thursday nights, we're also on OTR FM. So welcome to all our OM Times listeners. We do have a phone line open for you tonight. 617-917-4IPM. That's IPM as in IPM Nation. 617-917-4476. You can call or text. We also have the chat room up at ipmnation.com/live2. You can tweet me anytime at Matt Connerton. You can email me, matt@ipmnation.com. You can post on the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page, all that good stuff. Here's an article. This was on Politico. It's a column by Jamel Bowie? B-O-U-I-E. Bowie, Bowie, Bowie? I'm not sure. But this is what caught my eye about this is this is someone who's kind of looking at things the way I'm looking at it. The title of the article is "There Is No Donald Trump Campaign." And then the subheading is "Firing your campaign manager is not a big deal when there's nothing to manage," referring, of course, to the dismissal of Corey Lewandowski. So let me read this quickly. As of Monday morning, the Trump campaign doesn't have a manager. The Donald J. Trump campaign for president, which has set a historic record in the Republican primary, having received almost 14 million votes, has today announced that Corey Lewandowski will no longer be working with the campaign, said spokeswoman Hope Hicks in a statement to the press. She also said the campaign is grateful to Corey for his hard work and dedication, and we wish him the best in the future, unquote. It's tempting to treat this like a genuine shock, a blow that could disrupt Trump's effort to win the presidency, but two things are true. First, Lewandowski has been a declining presence since Trump captured the nomination in May, increasingly overshadowed by campaign chairman Paul Manafort. And with Lewandowski gone, explained one Trump ally to Fox News, Manafort is totally in charge. And the second thing? To suggest the Trump campaign is hurt by Lewandowski's departure is to assume a campaign exists. The truth is, there is no Donald Trump campaign. This isn't a matter of metaphysics. I mean this in a literal sense. Consider campaign staff. At this point in a presidential cycle, the presumptive nominees of both parties have begun to construct a field operation meant to identify supporters, train volunteers, and prepare for the tough work of bringing voters to the polls. By the time Mitt Romney entered June, after extinguishing Rick Santorum's challenge from the right, he had more than a dozen offices open in Ohio and at least 89 paid staffers for his national campaign. By November, Romney had opened nearly 300 offices nationwide and employed more than 400 people. Team Obama invested even more in offices and personnel, with nearly 800 field locations and over 900 paid staffers. How much staff has Donald Trump hired? At last count, the Trump campaign has roughly 30 staffers nationwide. Oh my God, that's it. By comparison, Team Clinton has hired 50 people in Ohio alone. Even if it's still early in the cycle, a typical campaign would have several senior staff members in place in most, if not all, contested states. Trump has close to none. And while the Republican National Committee has people on the ground in swing states and other vital areas, they're focused on the entire ticket. Trump needs dedicated professional help, and he doesn't have it. He seems to be waiting until July at the earliest to determine hiring and placement. Wow. What about advertising? Paid television is part and parcel of modern campaigning and can have real, albeit temporary, effects on the race. In their book, The Gamble, Choice and Chance in the 2012 Presidential Election, political scientists John Sides and Lynn Vavreck find that, all things equal, a candidate airing one additional ad per capita over an opponent gains an advantage of almost one extra point in public polling compared with a market where candidates are at parity in advertising. Likewise, a candidate with two additional ads per capita gains two extra points compared with the baseline. But it's hard to sustain these advantages across time. Eventually, the other side catches up, which means that, in the long term, these effects decay as neither side holds a durable advantage, and neither can shift the game through ads alone. Team Obama's $45 million ad buys in June 2012 was matched, in turn, by Team Romney's $38 million response. Any effect of the former was moderated and even canceled out by the latter. Trump may not have a ground game, but is he fighting on the airwaves, matching Clinton, or even trying to harm her standing?
Not at all. As of Sunday, Team Clinton has put more than $23 million in advertising across eight swing states: Florida, Ohio, Nevada, Colorado, Virginia, North Carolina, Iowa, and New Hampshire. Pennsylvania's omission is curious. Team Trump has nothing, not a single dollar. Clinton is spending millions to rehabilitate her image and attack Trump, with nothing to deal with in the way of pushback. Exacerbating all of this for Trump is that he's broke. Trump has just $2.4 million in the campaign coffers. Put differently, Clinton's ad buy is nearly 10 times as large as what Trump has on hand for his entire operation. Trump could raise money, but reports say he's uninterested in calling donors and other contributors. Okay, let me stop right there. There's a little bit more. There's one more paragraph to this article. But let me stop right there for a moment. He's not doing the work. He's just not interested. So what does that tell you? He's not interested in being president. He's not doing the basic things you need to do to win a presidential campaign. He could raise money, but he just doesn't feel like it. Oh, my God. Like, I actually, as amused I am by all of this and as much fun as I'm having with it, there is a part of me, and I mean this sincerely, there is a part of me that feels badly, because I know a lot of good people who, I mean, against, you know, probably their better judgment, but I know a lot of good people who really got very excited about Trump, you know, and being here in New Hampshire, the first in the nation primary, you know, people who I really like and think highly of personally, who I feel like have been totally taken in by this guy, this charlatan who said to them, believe in me, put your faith in me. And he's not even trying to win. He doesn't give a shit. He likes doing his rallies. He likes being the center of attention and taking in all that adulation from the crowds. That's what he's in it for. He's not trying to win the presidency. Everybody who believed in him has been duped. And I do genuinely feel bad for some of these people. It's like I said, I have friends who, you know, who I really care about, who are very heavily invested in Trump. And it sucks because, you know, he sold you guys down the river. Like I said, this is already over and it's June. I'm telling you, I don't like Hillary. I take no joy in saying it, but congratulations in advance, President-elect Hillary Rodham Clinton. This is the Hindenburg, the Trump campaign at this point. This is worse. Yeah, I mean, honestly, this is worse than any stupid thing he said, anything he's said or done that came across as racist or anything like that. This is far worse, far more damaging. This is electoral suicide, not raising the money. And it's willful. I'm telling you, he is trying to lose. You can't tell me that for some reason he just doesn't get it, that he needs to raise the money. He is trying to lose. He never expected to get this far. He's a bored rich guy who thought, might be fun to run for president. Oops. Now he's in danger of actually winning. You know, be careful what you wish for, or be careful what you run for. This is incredible. He got more primary votes than any other candidate in history. He didn't see that coming, I bet you. Let's see. Let's finish up because we're going to hit another break. Let's finish this last paragraph. If you follow enough election coverage, you'll notice a phrase from those inclined to read and absorb political science: campaigns don't matter.
The idea is that the twists and turns of the horse race are less important than the broad fundamentals of the election year: unemployment, economic growth, foreign conflict, etc. What's key is the mechanism beyond the slogan. It's not that campaigns are useless. It's that, in general, they're evenly matched, so they cancel each other out. When they aren't, Obama's ground game versus Romney's, for instance, they don't. So in other words, Trump is completely overmatched. And in the end, that's all that's going to matter. I still can't believe that number. She has outraised in donor contributions, outraised him 40 to 1, a ratio of 40 to 1. He's already lost. And I'm telling you, he wouldn't have it any other way. And at the end, he doesn't care. Come on, you guys. You Trump supporters, you've been conned by him in more than one way. You were conned by him because you bought into his line about wanting to make America great again, like he really wants to be president, when clearly he doesn't, or he would be trying. And you've also bought into the idea that he's a real Republican. He's probably fine with the Hillary Clinton presidency, because he's not really a conservative. Come on. You guys really believe he's pro-life, for example? He doesn't give a damn. He never did. Come on. You guys have been conned. But you won't admit it. You Trump supporters, you'll be stubborn all the way to November. I'm sure of it. We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Hello! Join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart, while you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song. You'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live on this Tuesday evening. We have a phone line open for you, 617-917-4476. You can call us. You can text us. I want to get to this. This was Trump talking about Hillary's faith or lack thereof, according to him. You know, Trump is really, I mean, one thing Trump has done right, because it's necessary to do, you know, in terms of becoming the Republican nominee, is he's done a great job of sucking up to the, you know, the conservative evangelical Christian right. And they've been more than happy to be completely taken in and snowed by his BS. It's remarkable. this is from HuffPost. Donald Trump questions whether Hillary Clinton and Obama are actually Christians. The GOP candidate claimed there just isn't enough available information about his opponent's faith to know where she stands. Sam Levine wrote this. Presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump on Tuesday questioned the faith of Hillary Clinton and President Barack Obama, insinuating that neither may really be a Christian. He told a group of evangelical leaders that he doesn't believe there is enough public information about Clinton's religious beliefs. Before I even read this quote, what public information is there about Donald Trump's religious beliefs? But it doesn't matter. If you're an evangelical Christian, you just, I don't know what kind of mental gymnastics you have to put yourself through to believe that Trump is some sort of great Christian guy. But, you know, and then, of course, as the obvious, I hate to keep harping on this, but it's hard not to. You know, it says right in the Bible, that passage in the Bible, I'm never sure if I'm getting this quite right, but something about it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. But you guys don't care. Evangelical Christians, you know, I think they've been conditioned over the years to, well, of course, Christians generally just ignore whatever is in the Bible that's even remotely inconvenient for them. So I think the Sunday morning shows with people like Joel Osteen and his $10,000 suit and his perfect pearly white teeth, you know, you guys are conditioned to think that, you know, that passage in the Bible doesn't matter. Being rich is actually what God wants for people. Greed and gluttony, yeah, they're two of the seven deadly sins, but that's okay. We don't need to worry about that either. We'll just ignore that. And part of the conditioning of this is, of course, on the Sunday morning shows with people like Joel Osteen, they talk about abundance. God wants you to have abundance, which is code for God wants you to worship money. You know, it's okay. That kind of idolatry is absolutely okay. You know, I mean, look at Jesus. He was filthy rich, right? Oh, no, that's right. He wasn't. Oops. Hypocrisy. Like I say, there is no Christianity because there are no Christians. None of you really buy in, do you? You just pretend to, and you go to anyway. All right, so just Trump is such an obvious example of that nonsense. But anyway, you Trump supporters, you don't care. When he made that joke about he could shoot somebody in the street and it wouldn't affect his numbers, he was right. I mean, the guy could do anything and you wouldn't care if you're a Trump supporter. Let's see. Anyway, here's what Trump actually said. Quote, "She's been in the public eye for years and years, and yet there's nothing out there. There's like nothing out there." Okay. There's more to this, but one other thing I have to interject. Sometimes, like, Trump has a very limited vocabulary. I think he, you know, people used to pick on people like George H.W. Bush for not being particularly deft with the English language and whatnot in some ways. But Trump is, like, the worst. He's I mean, inarticulate's not even the right word. It's beyond inarticulate. I don't know. It's like he's got a severe concussion or something, but he's still trying really, really hard to tell you what he's thinking about. But he's got a really bad headache. He hit his head earlier and he's got a really bad headache, and he's concentrating really hard on what he's trying to say. And hopefully he can communicate it in a way that makes sense to you. All right, so here's the full quote. "She's been in the public eye for years and years, and yet there's nothing out there. There's, like, nothing out there. It's going to be an extension of Obama, but it's going to be worse, because with Obama, you had to have your guard up. With Hillary, you don't, and it's going to be worse," unquote. What does that even mean? Like, what the... It's going to be an extension of Obama, but it's going to be worse because with Obama, you had to have your guard up. With Hillary, you don't, and it's going to be worse. I'm not sure what that even means. Unfortunately, I have a suspicion about what I think it might mean. And what I think it might mean is, oh, big surprise, Trump just said something sort of racist there. Why is it that with Obama, you knew you had to have your guard up, but you don't with Hillary? Is there something about Obama that's different than Hillary? You know, I say all the time, there is something. Can't quite put my finger on it, but there is something about Obama that really freaks conservatives out much more than your typical run-of-the-mill liberal does. There is something about him. I still can't quite put my finger on it. Trump has repeatedly suggested that Obama is a Muslim who was not born in the United States and who may be sympathetic to terrorists. Marjorie Dannenfelser, who attended the meeting with Trump, agreed that that Clinton hadn't spoken publicly enough about her faith. Okay. So Marjorie Dannenfelser, obviously, as a Trump supporter, it never enters her mind that, hey, you know who else hasn't spoken publicly about her faith, like, ever, until he decided to run for president? Donald J. Trump. Like, never. Come on, guys. Again, you've been conned. I don't believe Donald Trump is a man of faith. I assume Donald Trump is an atheist. By the way, I think Hillary Clinton is probably an atheist. I think Barack Obama is probably an atheist. They all strike me as atheists, to be really honest with you. And who cares, really? I personally don't care if Donald Trump believes in God or not, but it's hard to ignore, like, you know why part of the reason he's been able to con all of you so easily? Because you're all so damn easily conned. Stop being so gullible. How does Marjorie Dannenfelser, I've never heard of this person, but she's obviously pretty damn gullible if she agrees with Trump that Hillary hasn't spoken enough publicly about her faith, and it doesn't even enter her tiny little brain that neither has this guy who she's apparently decided will make a great Christian president. You know? The cognitive dissonance is just... It's shocking. It's like, it's frightening, really. You know, let's see. It also says here, she told Huffington Post that Clinton has had, quote, very little public conversation about our faith and how it affects our policy decisions, unquote. Yeah, okay. Did you happen to run into Trump at church one day, but you've never seen Hillary there? Come on. Ken Blackwell, another meeting attendee, said he questioned Clinton's ability to defend his right to practice his faith. Oh, yes, that's right. There's that war on Christianity we hear so much about. A simple Google search shows that Trump is wrong about there being very little publicly available about Clinton's faith. The presumptive Democratic nominee is a Methodist who in 2007 said she carries a Bible in her purse. Quote, "I am a person of faith. I am a Christian. I am a Methodist. I have been raised Methodist. I feel very grateful for my instructions and support I received starting in my family but through my church," unquote, she said in a campaign appearance in January in Iowa. She continued, quote, "My study of the Bible, my many conversations with people of faith, has led me to believe the most important commandment is to love the Lord with all your might and to love your neighbor as yourself, and that is what I think we are commanded by Christ to do," unquote. Clinton has also described faith as the background music to her life and has spoken about how her youth minister inspired her to get involved in public service. She is also reported being influenced by a popular Methodist expression, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can," unquote. Trump himself has had a few missteps when it comes to referencing religion. In January, he incorrectly referred to a book of the Bible as 2 Corinthians. Yes, but these freaking morons hear him say something like, "I don't know about Hillary and her faith and blah, blah, blah." And they just go, "Yeah, that's right, Donald, because you're obviously a man of faith and Hillary's not because she's never said anything about it. You're right. You're rich and successful. So you're obviously right. And we're just going to buy into everything you say." We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Join me, Maggie Chula, on Mondays at noon Eastern for Mastermind with Maggie. Let's work together in a mastermind. We can resolve life's problems and create goals for the future. Build action steps empowering you to create your life in partnership with your divine source of light, your soul. Manifesting your goals can be simple and easy, so come with your problems and leave with a plan. The Akashic Master Teachers and I are waiting to help you.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed as we cruise into our final segment tonight. This from HuffPost. Donald Trump's new evangelical advisor was sure God had chosen Ted Cruz to be president. Oops. But of course, now he falls in line with Trump like they all do. Why would he be any different? It says here, Donald Trump's campaign on Tuesday announced that it had assembled a stable of religious advisors to help the presumptive GOP nominee get his message through to evangelical voters. The list of names includes former Representative Michelle Bachmann, high-profile figures like Focus on the Family founder James Dobson, and Liberty University president Jerry Falwell Jr., as well as a televangelist who once claimed God had endorsed Trump's one-time rival, Senator Ted Cruz, for president. I didn't realize that God had endorsed anybody. Was there a press release from God? I missed it, if there was. I'd like to maybe book God on the show and ask him what he was thinking. And if he regrets his endorsement of Cruz, you know, you would think if anyone would be able to back the winning horse right out of the gate, it would be God. I mean, in theory, he kind of knows who's going to win, right? Kenneth Copeland, who, along with his wife Gloria, are members of Trump's new advisory board, hosted a conference in January in which speakers discussed the topic of reclaiming America. Oh, wow, that's creepy. Reclaiming America. What does that mean? I suppose I could be charitable and pretend I don't very strongly suspect that that's code for getting rid of the dark people, you know? Reclaiming America. Come on. Like, the rest of us don't know what that means and what you people are up to. Says here, Rafael Cruz, the Texas senator's preacher father, was on hand to deliver a sermon. When Copeland introduced Cruz, he told attendees that God had chosen Ted Cruz to win the White House. Oh, boy. So that Roger Waters song, What God Wants, you know, where he says, what God wants, God gets. Apparently not during the political season. I'm sure God's all in with Trump now, though. I'm sure God looks at Trump and he's just so just completely enamored with him and just believes everything he says. Let's see. Copeland, in comments first covered by rightwingwatch.org, ooh, my favorite site, at the time said, quote, I believe with all my heart that this son is called and anointed to be the next president of the United States, unquote. Cruz dropped out of the race in May following a string of disappointing finishes in primary contests. Copeland has met with Trump in the past, though had no official involvement with reality TV star's presidential campaign. A video from September shows Copeland and other evangelical leaders laying hands on Trump and reciting a prayer. Copeland later clarified that the meeting did not constitute an endorsement. And just because Copeland is now serving as an advisor to Trump's campaign doesn't mean he's actually changed his mind about the endorsement. As Politico reported on Monday, members of the board were not asked to endorse Trump as a condition for appointment, but comments like Copeland's underscore a deeper divide in the evangelical community over whether they should vote for Trump in November. While many rank-and-file voters have readily gotten in line behind the businessman, some religious leaders have expressed apprehension about Trump's commitment to Christian values. Recent appearances at events like the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to Majority conference suggests Trump is still working to shore up support from this voting bloc. Hmm. Well, they did lay his hands on him. Hopefully, you know, put some, put some God into him. I don't know what the hell that's about. Anyway, so they're not all just completely taken in by him. But, my friends, there is a new wrinkle that I did not realize. Because speaking of rightwingwatch.org, there is an article here, according to Jerry Falwell, or I guess it's Jerry Falwell Jr., he says every terrorist in the world will crawl under a rock when Trump becomes president. This I was not aware of. Now, that's a big deal, actually. If we can actually elect someone who will get terrorists to crawl under rocks, That's probably a good thing. I wonder if he's right. It says here, today, Liberty University President Jerry Falwell Jr. hailed Donald Trump as a bold and fearless leader ready to fight America's enemies and bad trade partners. It doesn't matter. Falwell, speaking at the religious right meeting with the presumptive GOP nominee, said that just as Ronald Reagan freed the hostages in Iran upon taking office, which he didn't, Trump will similarly scare terrorism out of existence. Quote, in my opinion, the day after Trump becomes president, every terrorist in the world will crawl under a rock in similar fashion. Yeah. By the way, no, Reagan did not free the hostages. That's BS. The hostages were freed on the day that Reagan was inaugurated, but that deal was negotiated by the Carter administration. But they waited until Reagan was inaugurated to humiliate Carter. Reagan had nothing to do with it. Part of the mythology of Reagan, I suppose. You know, Reagan was a Christian, after all, so, you know, he probably can do no wrong. There's some audio here. Play this.
With broken promises and a continuation of the status quo, Mr. Trump is a bold and fearless leader who will take the fight to our enemies and to the radical Islamic terrorists, whether they attack in San Bernardino, Orlando, or Paris, or whether they simply steal American... Or whether they simply just steal American jobs through unfair trade practices. The day after Ronald Reagan became president, Iran released American hostages that had been held for 444 days. In my opinion, the day after Trump becomes president, every terrorist in the world will crawl under a rock in similar fashion. With broken promises and...
Why is he allowed near a podium? He is a terrible speaker. usually for that kind of a gig, you have to be able to inspire people. And he's like, this is Ronald Reagan. He's got a lot to live up to. You know, he's Jerry Falwell Jr. He's got to do better than this. Got to up your game there, son. Let's see. Before we wrap up, do we have any other? I need something quick. Oh, yeah. From HuffPost. Guess how many members of Congress have more cash on hand than Donald Trump? Quite frankly, it's a huge number. let's see. You know what? We're not going to have time to get to this, so I'll tell you what. If you want to read that, it's up on HuffPost. But like I said, it's dire straits for the Trump campaign. I don't know, you know, if he's not interested in raising money. You know, we were kind of speculating on the television edition earlier with a caller who had called in about how, you know, is it possible that Donald Trump may try to make some sort of a graceful exit? Would his ego allow him to do so? Could he at some point say, you know, I realize that I may not be the best nominee for the Republican Party. So I'm going to step aside and let Paul Ryan be the nominee or something. Because, like I said, I mean, he's done beyond damage. I mean, he's taken a hatchet to the party. This is incredible. Again, not because of the incendiary things he says, because his campaign is nearly broke. And he talks about self-funding. He doesn't have enough money to self-fund an entire presidential campaign and match Hillary's donations. And why would he want to? He's a businessman. That sounds like a pretty poor business investment, doesn't it? Self-funding. You know what self-funding a presidential campaign would be like? It would be like buying a fast food franchise. Like if you buy a franchise like from Burger King or McDonald's or something, you're basically buying a job. You are buying the job of running of being the manager of that particular franchise. That's what it would be like for Trump if he were to self-fund his campaign. He would be using his own money to buy a job, the job of president. That's a terrible investment. As a businessman, why would he want to do that? But he's not interested in raising money. And the campaign is nearly broke. And he has no ground game, none, in any of the swing states. And he doesn't seem to be in any hurry to put one together. And he just doesn't seem to care about that part of it. He just likes flying around the country, doing these huge rallies in front of the big crowds. He's not running for president. He's just flying around giving speeches about running for president. It's already over. It's only June. We haven't hit the conventions yet. And this is already over. And Hillary Clinton will be the next president. I don't know if even a federal indictment could stop that at this point. Seriously, it's staggering to even think. I don't think she'll be indicted anyway, not under the Obama's DOJ. But it's not happening. It doesn't matter. She's going to be president. And anyone who doesn't think that his lack of fundraising matters, then you know nothing about presidential politics. It matters. Oh, my God. It matters a lot. We're out of time, so we're going to wrap up. Thank you all for joining me tonight. I'll be back tomorrow night with another live radio edition of Unleashed. Wednesday nights, we are exclusively on IPM Nation 2. Don't forget to look for the television edition of this week's show. We'll have that up on the IPM Nation YouTube page sometime tomorrow. Keep an eye out for that. That's it for now. I'll talk at you later. Good night, everybody.